Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
He's at the point in his career where he is confident against everyone. And when you match that freedom and that confidence, wow, be careful.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. In for Vince Petrano, here's Eric Bilstad.
That's how it sounded in Houston. Powerful storm that pummeled the Houston area Thursday night. At least four people reported killed from this storm. It's left major destruction.
Southeast Texas raked with winds over 80 miles per hour. Near Houston, at least four people were killed. At one point overnight, more than a million customers in Texas and Louisiana without power as those vicious winds took down transmission lines. Downtown Houston, a mess. Windows blown out of skyscrapers, streets littered with debris. Astros fans scrambling after rain got through the dome at Minute Maid Park.
That's ABC's Ginger Z. So you know who's in Houston?
I have a pretty good idea.
The Brewers. Yes. Mm-hmm. The Milwaukee Brewers play the Astros this weekend. I'll have to check in. So Pat Murphy is joining us for a very unique Friday edition of Brewers 360 at 7:45. So we've got to get his take on the situation. Hopefully everything is okay down there, but sounds like a major mess.
Yeah, and I've been to downtown Houston a lot with my family, and I know that area well enough to know when you hear skyscraper windows are smashed in, the streets are very tight down there. So I have to imagine cleanup is an absolute nightmare considering all the congestion that happens in that city as well.
Adam Roberts in for Vince Vitrano. I'm Eric Bilstead. Vince is back on Monday. He's picking up his kid from college. Debbie Lazga's on the roads, and Greg Pancake Hill is doing the yeoman's work today. He is handling sports. And boy, do we have a doozy of a sports story to share with you. The number one golfer in the world who is set to tee off in a couple hours in day two of the PGA Championship is now in custody. That story in 60 seconds.
Now time for a sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Greg Hill.
In about a half hour from now is the scheduled tee time for the number one golfer in the world, Scotty Scheffler. No news if he's going to make it because he is currently in police custody. What in the world is happening? He's been detained by police in handcuffs after a misunderstanding with traffic flow getting into the golf course. ESPN Milwaukee's Gabe Neitzel was on last hour. He kind of detailed what in the world is going on here.
So he was trying to get in, as he is allowed to, and officer tried to stop him. Apparently he tried to just keep pulling past him, but he was driving very slowly to the point where the cop was able to just on foot continue following him, pounding on his window. Eventually Scotty stopped. Apparently Scheffler thought that he was just a security guard. And, okay, no big deal. I'm just going to keep going.
Yeah.
And the cop was very upset and eventually detained Scheffler. Handcuffs and all, put him back in the police cruiser.
Yeah, so what's craziest about this is he was on his way to get booked, and he was booked. There's a mugshot out there, correct?
Oh, yeah.
There's a mugshot out there right now of the number one golfer in the world who is supposed to tee off in about a half hour at the PGA Championship, the second major in the golfing season. I'm assuming he's going to post bail. I don't really know what to say.
So I asked Gabe what he thought. Hey, you know what? Will you make? Do you think he'll golf? Because we kind of assume he'll golf.
I mean, you would
and Gabe
think,
was like, I don't know, man.
They obviously have to move his time back, but I don't know how the PGA is going to address this. But it's a very interesting story that we will absolutely keep our eye on. A little bit about Scotty Scheffler. If you don't know, he's apparently the most boring person in the world, which makes this incredible. And my friend texted me this. I'm going to use it on the air. He goes, honestly, probably the only thing he'd ever get arrested for is a miscommunication about traffic. And there we are.
Here we
have it. All right. Meanwhile, the schedule is out for the Green Bay Packers. Tickets are on sale. They're ready to be purchased. The next point of order for the team is signing Jordan Love to a new contract. He is on a $13 million deal for this season. After next season, his contract is up. Adam Schefter, NFL insider on Jay Gabe and Chewy earlier this week.
You want to get this deal done, in my mind. Both sides, I think, want to get this deal done in their minds. But right now, they're not close to making it happen.
Yeah, so it sounds terrible. It sounds awful. Oh, my God, he's not going to be our
coach. He's leaving.
He's not leaving, okay? Settle the Giannis to the Warriors reports. Like, we don't have to do that yet. He's at the offseason activities. He's going to be fine. Okay. So, but it's something we will monitor. Be looking out for the Jordan Love contract news shortly. And meanwhile, the Brewers are in Houston to take on the Astros tonight. Freddy Peralta on the hill for the crew. Our coverage on WTMJ starts at 6. First pitch scheduled for 7:10 this evening. And Brewers manager Pat Murphy, our Brewers 360 guest, at 7:45.
Here we go. 7:18 right now. So why do we wear those square hats? And what's with the pop and circumstance of this time of year? We explain next. Yep, it's that time of year. I have a niece graduating from high school in a couple of weeks. I know many will be graduating from UW-Milwaukee this weekend,
including a 72-year-old, which is, found a really interesting story.
Yeah. Neat.
Yeah, so it is a rite of passage, a moment to celebrate accomplishments in hard work, and a celebration of inspiration. Debbie Lazga takes a look at graduation.
Okay, here we go. Wow, look at how many graduates there are. We're going to be here for a while. Hey, ever wonder where all the iconic things come from? They get together, line up in alphabetical order, dress in weird gowns and hats just to pick up a certificate that says you just went through one of the most intense expansion of your mental capacity you'll ever have, or at least the nifty leatherette holder for said certificate. But where does it all come from?
We trace a lot of the history, and especially the pomp and the circumstance and the academic regalia, really back to Europe. And so we've been doing things in the United States based on how things started many centuries ago, the late Middle Ages and the time of the Renaissance.
That's Vice President for Enrollment and Chief Strategy Officer at Concordia University of Wisconsin, Dr. Michael Uden. And he filled me in on all the storied, and I mean storied, traditions associated with commencement ceremonies, like the gowns.
There were practical reasons. Because we didn't have central heating, the garb actually helped keep faculty and students warm as well.
And if you're lucky enough to see a commencement for people picking up a master's or PhD, the amount of fabric in the gown actually means something.
Historically, the more fabric you had in your gown, the wealthier, or in this case, the more educated you were. And so the bachelor's degree candidates have pointed closed sleeves, the master degree, a little more fabric, they have oblong sleeves. And then the doctoral candidates have bell-shaped sleeves, lots of fabric, with three stripes of velvet and velvet panels on the front of their gown, again, corresponding with their academic discipline or area of study.
Okay, so check that off the list. Something else for your graduation bingo card? The mortarboard.
It's reminiscent, quite literally, of the board used by masons to apply mortar, symbolizing then the skill of a master workman within the academic discipline. And in the 14th century, European universities used tassels to differentiate different levels of academic achievement. But what's kind of an American piece of this is the movement of the tassel from the right to the left after the conferral of a degree.
And now they're a customary decoration for your rearview mirror in your car. Check. How about the mace? Yeah, an actual mace.
That's often borne by the chief faculty marshal, and it really represents the academic integrity and intensity that that ceremony is supposed to signify.
Oh yeah, that's one of Dr. Uden's other jobs, the faculty marshal. Wow, there is a ton of symbolism at your average graduation ceremony. There's tons more that I just don't have the time to go over, like this song. Yeah, Pomp and Circumstance, written by Sir Edgar Elgar in 1901. Diplomas, guest speakers, sashes, and cords all come together to create quite the bingo game for your commencement enjoyment. Oh, and don't forget the ever-popular throwing of the caps. You know, where we all celebrate how smart we are by throwing up sharp, pointy objects into the air.
Hooray!
All the regalia, customs, and time-honored traditions, it's all just a part of simply this. We wish all graduates a hearty congratulations for your accomplishments. Now get out there and make a difference. Debbie Lazaga, WTMJ News.
I think what makes the song work, Debbie, is that you can just play it over and over.
This
and
is
over
the song that
again.
Never ends. Exactly.
I mean, I, can
I had to loop it about four times.
I can think of a couple of other songs that never seem to end.
Exactly.
This one seems
to be. De Vita.
Yeah. See, that could work.
I'm telling you.
So diplomas, for me, it would make sense, I guess, just because you need something to identify your work, right? Like,
yeah.
I want the thing that I can then put on my wall.
Yeah, people would actually frame it and all that stuff. But nowadays, they don't even give out the actual diploma.
Right.
Because your grades aren't completely, quote unquote, in yet.
Yeah.
So they give you that lovely little leatherette.
It's easier to
thing,
do that.
Like, here you go.
It's easier logistically not to have a name on that.
Empty.
Yeah.
Do either of you two still have your diploma?
Yes, I do.
I do. It's in the bottom of a bin.
Exactly.
Somewhere.
It's in the bottom of a box.
I'm right there with you. I don't know where mine is at all.
Isn't that funny? Well, congratulations to all the graduates. The one big one that I know, I think Alverno is this weekend, I want to say.
Yeah, UWM. And then we've got, of course, in June, we've got a ton and a half of high schools.
Yes.
All over the place. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, something to remember. And hey, make up your own bingo card because I know those graduation ceremonies can go forever. So just use your bingo card now.
Thank you, Debbie. Major storms roll through Houston, Texas. That's where the Milwaukee Brewers are playing this weekend. We'll check in with the Skipper, a special Friday edition of Brewers 360 with Pat Murphy coming up at 7:45.
Eric, speaking of Texas, one community in the Lone Star State getting ready for what is called Miles of Kyles.
This is our moment, and this is our name, Kyle!
Kyle!
Thousands of Kyles are headed to Kyle to try to break a Guinness World Record for the largest gathering of people with the same first name. Kyle Gordon is one of them.
We are the greatest guys in the world!
Counting is set to start Saturday, and they'll need at least 2,326 Kyles to break the record. Right now, the record belongs to a group of Ivans in Bosnia. Monica Ricks, CBS News.
Look out, Ivans. We're coming for you.
So this has been done before. I love it. I love it. Let's make life a little bit more fun for a change.
I know a few Kyles. I think we all know a few Kyles in our lives. They're probably heading down to Texas right now.
Hey, if you've been in or around Milwaukee lately, there's something you're going to notice that is starting to multiply. We'll tell you that story in 1 minute. Wisconsin's Morning News, Eric Bilstead here. Vince Vetrano is back on Monday. Adam Roberts in his stead.
So, Eric, people have been wondering, many, where are the Lime scooters? It's a hot topic in Milwaukee for sure. And as the weather gets warmer, you're starting to keep your eye out for the Lime scooters. But they've been conspicuously absent this spring, despite the warm weather that
I have
had.
Not missed them, but go ahead. Continue.
Well, I've got three words for you.
We are back! Yes, we are back!
Oh, no.
They have returned. The scooters are back. I can confirm. I bike to work every morning from my house and went down MLK, 3rd Street, whatever you will, and they are everywhere.
Yeah.
They have spawned overnight. And I know it's overnight.
Multiplied.
Because I was at the Marcus for Moulin Rouge. We saw the show last night,
okay.
And we went to the new Copper Bar on 3rd Street, and they were nowhere to be found. And I was not looking for them, but I would have noticed if they were back then, and they were nowhere to be found. Well, this morning, riding in, suddenly,
really?
Like mushrooms from the ground, they had spawned on the sidewalks of Milwaukee, and yes, the scooters are back.
And what is the rule on those? You can't use them on the sidewalk.
You cannot use them on the sidewalk. In fact, I believe the Limes, and there's a bunch of these different scooter companies, but the Limes in particular have a function in them where if they sense they have GPS and they sense you're off the main road, they will stop.
Yeah.
Kind of like a cart at a grocery store that the wheel locks. They will stop if you go on the sidewalk.
And by the way, you can fly on those things.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think sometimes people realize you get it on them for the first time and they're like, oh, no, you can move on those.
And we got some roads that I would not want to fly on those scooters around here.
Like the interstate? 7:43. Not that that's ever happened. 7:43. We got a Pat Murphy special today. The Brewer Skipper joining us on a Friday edition of Brewers 360. He'll join us in 1 minute.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
He's the world number one golfer, Scottie Scheffler, heading in for round two of the PGA Championship this morning, and he was taken into custody. He wasn't listening to police who were trying to get him to stop his vehicle. He's been charged, or he's been booked. There's a mugshot, and he will likely face charges. The question will be if they can get him back on the course, because that's all we golf fans care about.
Of course.
And we'll see if that happens, if he's able to get back and have his tee time moved for later today. Brewers and Astros from Houston, 7:10 first pitch. Our coverage starts 6:30 tonight right here on WDTMJ Radio. Brewers 360, sponsored by Holiday Automotive. Joining us on a Friday morning is the Brewers manager, Pat Murphy. Boy, Pat, thought about you first thing this morning when we heard all the news about the storms hitting Houston. How bad was it? Could you hear the noise? Could you hear the storms rolling through?
It was pretty bad. Alarming, actually. But our pilots were incredible. We circled for a while, and then they brought us in. I won't say that it was the most comfortable flight, but it was, thankfully, they did a great job and got us here safely.
Hey, Skip, we're seeing pictures from Minute Maid Park. There's rain literally pouring through the roof last night. They had to rush fans out of the Astros game. Have you received any guidance from MLB as far as the game tonight? Any status on the stadium?
Yeah, everything is fine as we know it. I mean, they had a ton of people have to come and help. There's no damage necessarily that would affect the game tonight. It looks like all systems go.
Does that affect you at all in any way as far as is it standard ops because you know that the field crews know what they're doing and handle that situation? The team doesn't necessarily have to think about it?
They have. MLB has things in place that make sure that,
yeah,
you know, both teams are informed and they understand how things are going to operate, and they wouldn't put us out. They'd put nobody out there if there was a chance of anybody getting hurt.
Hey, Skip, I don't know what he's eating. I don't know what you're telling him, what advice you're giving him, but holy cow, Willie Contreras is having himself a season. What is he doing differently this year? I mean, he's always been good, but this year he seems elite.
No question. I mean, he is... you know, he's like a pit bull. He's just nonstop. He's relentless. And the kid takes every at-bat seriously. I mean, it's a great lesson for all young players. I mean, this kid got free. You know, he got freed up. He knows that this is, you know, he's going to catch. He's the catcher. And he knows that, you know, he's gonna bat second every day against left-handers. He might bat first. And he has that freedom that he doesn't have to worry about, you know, whether he's going to be in there or not. And he's at the point in his career where he is confident against everyone. And when you match that freedom and that confidence, wow, be careful. And his relentlessness is unusual. He wants to play. He actually wants to catch every game. And it's just incredible.
I'm so glad.
So hopefully we keep him healthy, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say that puts a little onus on you then. Hey, okay, buddy, need you to sit occasionally.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. He's not going to sit, but I need him to not catch.
I got you.
Once in a while, just because it can be grueling. Although he's in such incredible shape and he's such a competitor that he does not want to come out of there. And he has some people that, you know, like Yadi Molina would catch 140 games. He wants to be one of those guys to catch 140.
Hey, Pat, I read that story in the Journal by Kurt Hogue talking about orange lifesavers. And why in the world would I be talking about orange lifesavers and baseball? Well, you have this analogy to describe some of the guys in your clubhouse. Can you explain what an orange lifesaver is and how it pertains to the Brewers?
You know, it really was, we were just sitting around talking, and I guess they're desperate for things to write about. But anyway... we were just talking, and we were talking about my days in college about how to pick the players. What kind of players do you go after? I said, you know, the thing that I learned when you were a college coach, is that not always those big, you know, five-star recruits are always the one to go after, that the core of your team kind of becomes how good do you pick the orange lifesaver. And they looked at me like, orange lifesaver, what are you talking about? And I said, well, you know, when you got a pack of lifesavers when you're little, you're with your friends, everybody opens them up, you're going to share them, everybody opens up, everybody wants the red one. But the orange one's pretty good too. They got a lot of great qualities, and orange ones can turn into red ones if given the opportunity sometimes. But I was using that analogy, and he got further, and he said, well, what guys on the Brewers are orange lifesavers? I said, well, we got a lot of them, you know, like Rhys Hoskins, because he's capable of hitting 30-plus homers doesn't mean he's necessarily got all the physical skills that, you know, the best in the game have. But he's a baseball player. And we just went down the list of guys that at the core of this team that are Orange lifesavers. And I guess he wrote a story. I didn't read it, but I've been getting some comments about it for sure.
It was a pretty entertaining piece. He did a good job.
Do you have any Orange Tic Tacs on your team? They're not as good.
I guess.
Don't sleep on the green Tic Tacs.
You guys see where I was going with this. You know my age, and you know what I was referring to. But I have had no idea that it was going to turn into this. But I think there's T-shirts coming. I think there's a bunch of things.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy in Houston, Texas. Big series against the Astros starting tonight right here on WTMJ. Go get them, Skip. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It was a huge night in Milwaukee, a star-studded event, a big old party right here in Brew City. What was it? That story next. Normally at this time, we hear from Mr. Mark Tauscher. Mr. Mark Tauscher is off today, and he will be off next week as well in downtown Milwaukee. Broadway star Idina Menzel serenading a crowd of very poshly dressed. It was a huge night, a huge party. It was the opening night gala of the Baird Center in downtown Milwaukee, the brand new convention center. Black tie affair. I was not there, by the way. But I'm told by people who were there that it was a pretty amazing festival.
Well, at least from the outside, the thing looks fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
As far as modernizing a place that's existed for 30 plus years, I mean, they couldn't have done a better job from the optics on the outside. It looks amazing.
Yeah, they've been able to modernize, and they call it the South. There's the South Building, the North Building. The North Building, brand new and just unbelievably gorgeous on the inside. And this should really bring a major economic impact to the city. So that party last night came hours after the ribbon cutting, officially opening the brand new North End on Thursday. It was a long process, but they got it done.
It's a bit of a sense of relief, but it's a sense of pride and a sense of accomplishment for the city and the community that everyone banded together to get this done. And it's just great to see the turnout here and the energy in this room. You can really feel it. And
that's Jim Cantor. He is the chairman of the Wisconsin Center District Board. And like everyone just beaming during that ribbon cutting on Thursday. I went over there and just wanted to say hello and congratulate some of those folks who had been spending so much time. So we had the ribbon cutting. We've had the opening night gala. So what's next? Well, before all the conventions really get going, they have their open public tour for the common Jack or Jill to tour the building. That is tomorrow. So I asked him about it.
So on Saturday, there's a public viewing of the place. Where would you suggest people to go? What do they need to see?
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, the ballroom's just incredible, right? So go out to the top floor and then walk outside. And the vista and the view that you have from the balcony that can hold, I mean, about 1,000 people out there is just beautiful. And then the works of art that we've been able to commission here to make this more of a modern touch on what people are looking for when they come visit conventions. So those would be the two places that I would go first. Go to the top, go to the ballroom, and it'll be a beautiful day here in Milwaukee on Saturday. Go out and see the city.
Jim, thank you very much.
All right, Eric, thank you.
It was a large crowd at that event. They did also have a time capsule. They had items given from MPS students that they put in a time capsule at the convention center. Among the items included, a mixtape, really a flash drive, but it has music on it, some MP3s. Also, I saw David Crowley, Milwaukee County Executive, the Milwaukee Mayor, Cavalier Johnson. They weren't there as long, though, because I assume they were going to Discovery World to get FaceTime with the VP.
You want to talk about a busy day in downtown Milwaukee, a busy day for a Thursday? Yesterday was that day. You're right, Eric. So over at Discovery World, the VP, for the fourth time this calendar year alone, was in Wisconsin. We've been seeing a lot of the Biden administration, and we saw Donald Trump, obviously, in Green Bay recently. Lot of presence in Wisconsin this year, including yesterday. She was talking with comedian, radio show host D.L. Hughley about the economy, housing affordability, et cetera. And front and center, near the front row, trying to get a glimpse of it all, was the mayor. And it was great timing, too, because as we remember yesterday, there was also the news that we're talking about debates now. Biden and Trump agreeing to a debate, a couple of them, I believe. And then also Kamala committing to debate whoever the vice presidential candidate on the Republican side will be as well. So a couple of dates have been floated out for this. There's July 23rd. It's right after the RNC in Milwaukee, and then possibly August 13th. And so that got me thinking, well, there's a city right here that's hosted debates for this very election run in the past. We don't know where this one's going to be. Could it be in Milwaukee? The vice president today said she would be open to debating the vice presidential candidate from the other side later this year. I know the dates are a little up in the air, but if it works out, we have experience hosting debates relatively recently. Would you be open to saying, hey, come bring it on down here. We got the infrastructure to make it happen.
Oh, I absolutely would be interested in seeing a vice presidential debate take place here in Milwaukee. Look, we're seeing all the candidates that are lining up in the same outfit look like cheerleaders outside the court house in Manhattan for the selection for Trump's VP pick. I think no matter which person Donald Trump selects to be his vice presidential run, I mean, Vice President Harris is going to mop the floor with him in a debate.
No.
So I'm looking forward to it, and I would love that for that to happen in Milwaukee.
Mopping the floor. Now, realistically, I think they would maybe want to expand this to somewhere other than Milwaukee just because there's so much that has happened here already. You want to hit other battleground states.
Sure.
But never say never. And like I said, we've got the infrastructure to do it. Fiserv or Panther Arena, somewhere downtown. Mm-hmm. It could definitely be possible.
It would not be our first. That is for sure. Thank you, Adam. 7:59 on Wisconsin's Morning News.